Chapter 87. Vienna, January 9. P.S. In the article I sent, the figures are wrong. 50 million ought to be 450 million. 349,982,000 ought to be 449,982,000. And the remark about the sum being a little more than the present number of males on the planet, that is wrong, of course. It represents really one and a half the existing males. Now and then one of Mark Twain's old comrades still reached out to him across the years. He always welcomed such letters. They came, as from a lost land of romance, recalled always with tenderness. He sent light, chaffing replies, but they were never without an undercurrent of affection. To Major Ack Downing, in Middleport, Ohio. Hotel Krantz, Wayne, I, Newer Mart 6, February 26, 1899. Dear Major, no. It was to Bixby that I was apprenticed. He was to teach me the river for a certain specified sum. I have forgotten what it was, but I paid it. I steered a trip for Bart Bowen, of Keokuk, on the A. T. Lacey, and I was partner with Will Bowen on the A. B. Chambers one trip, and with Sam Bowen a whole summer on a small Memphis packet. The newspaper report you sent me is incorrect. Bixby is not 67. He is 97. I am 63 myself, and I couldn't talk plain, and had just begun to walk when I apprenticed myself to Bixby, who was then passing himself off for 57 and successfully too, for he always looked 60 or 70 years younger than he really was. At that time he was piloting the Mississippi on a PMAC commission granted him by George Washington, who was a personal friend of his before the Revolution. He has piloted every important river in America on that commission. He has also used it as a passport in Russia. I have never revealed these facts before. I notice, too, that you are deceiving the people concerning your age. The printed portrait which you have enclosed is not a portrait of you, but a portrait of me when I was 19. I remember very well when it was common for people to mistake Bixby for your grandson. Is it spreading, I wonder, this disposition of pilots to renew their youth by doubtful methods? Beck Jolly and Joe Bryan, they probably go to Sunday school now, but it will not deceive. Yes, it is as you say. All of the procession, but a fraction, has passed. It is time for us all to fall in. Sincerely yours, S. 50. Clemens. To W. D. Howells, in New York. Hotel Krantz, Wien 1. Newer MARKT 6 April 2nd, 99. Dear Howells, I am waiting for the April Harper, which is about due now, waiting, and strongly interested. You are old enough to be a weary man, with paling interests, but you do not show it. You do your work in the same old delicate, and delicious, and forceful, and searching, and perfect way. I don't know how you can, but I suspect that to you there is still dignity in human life, and that man is not a joke, a poor joke, the poorest that was ever contrived. Since I wrote my Bible, last year, had his man. Which Mrs. Clemens loathes, and shudders over, and will not listen to the last half, nor allow me to print any part of it. Man is not to me the respect-worthy person he was before. And so I have lost my pride in him, and can't write gaily nor praisefully about him any more. And I don't intend to try. I mean to go on writing, for that is my best amusement, but I shan't print much. For I don't wish to be scalped any more than another. April 5. The Harper has come. I have been in Leipzig with your party, and then went on to Carlsbad and saw Mrs. Marsh's encounter with the swine with the toothpick, and the other manners, air silver wedding journey. At this point John carried the magazine away. Is it imagination, or anyway I seem to get furtive and fleeting glimpses which I take to be the weariness and condolence of age, indifference to sights and things once brisk with interest. Tasteless stale stuff which used to be champagne, the boredom of travel, the secret sigh behind the public smile, the private what in hell did I come for? But maybe that is your art. Maybe that is what you intend the reader to detect and think he has made a Columbus discovery. Then it is well done, perfectly done. I wrote my last travel book following the equator. In hell, but I let on, the best I could, that it was an excursion through heaven. Someday I will read it, and if its lying cheerfulness fools me, then I shall believe it fooled the reader. How I did loathe that journey around the world. Except the sea part and India. Evening. My tail hangs low. I thought I was a financier and I bragged to you. I am not bragging now. The stock which I sold at such a fine profit early in January has never ceased to advance and is now worth $60, more than I sold it for. I feel just as if I had been spending $20, a month, and I feel reproached for this showy and unbecoming extravagance. Last week I was going down with the family to Budapest to lecture and to make a speech at a banquet. Just as I was leaving here I got a telegram from London asking for the speech for a New York paper. This is strictly private, sent it. And then I didn't make that speech, but another of a quite different character, a speech born of something which the introducer said. If that said speech got cabled and printed, you needn't let on that it was never uttered. That was a darling night, and those Hungarians were lively people. We were there a week, and had a great time. At the banquet I heard their chief orator make a most graceful and easy, and beautiful and delicious speech. I never heard one that enchanted me more, although I did not understand a word of it, since it was in Hungarian. But the art of it, dash it, was superlative. They are wonderful English scholars, these people. My lecture audience, all Hungarians, understood me perfectly, to judge by the effects. The English clergyman told me that in his congregation are 150 young English women who earn their living teaching their language, and that there are others besides these. For 60 cents a week the telephone reads the morning news to you at home, gives you the stocks and markets at noon, gives you lessons in 3 foreign languages during 3 hours. Gives you the afternoon telegrams, and at night the concerts and operas. Of course even the clerks and seamstresses and bootblacks, and everybody else are subscribers.
Correction. Mrs. Kleeman says it is 60 cents a month.
I am renewing my youth. I made 4 speeches at one banquet here last Saturday night, and I've been to a lot of football matches. John has been in here examining the poll for the Immortals, literature, March 24, in the hope, I think, that at last she should find me at the top, and you in second place, and if that is her ambition as he has suffered disappointment for the 3rd time and will never fare any better, I hope, for you are where you belong, by every right. She wanted to know who it is that does the voting, but I was not able to tell her. Nor when the election will be completed and decided. Next morning. I have been reading the morning paper. I do it every morning well knowing that I shall find in it the usual depravities and basenesses, and hypocrisies and cruelties that make up civilization, and cause me to put in the rest of the day pleading for the damnation of the human race. I cannot seem to get my prayers answered, yet I do not despair.
Escaped from 5 o'clock tea. S.H.
Oh, the American girl in Europe. Often she is creditable, but sometimes she is just shocking. This one, a minute ago 19, fat face, raspy voice, pert ways, the self-complacency of God, and with it all a silly laugh, embarrassed, which kept breaking out through her chatter all along, whereas there was no call for it, for she said nothing that was funny.
Oh, so many have told you how they enjoyed your chapter on the germ tongue at Spring and Coles to Newcastle Key. Say anything about it, Key. Spent them vacation in Russia and saw Tolstoy. He said it made me shudder.
April 12. John has been in here with a copy of literature, complaining that I am again behind you in the election of the 10 consecrated members, and seems troubled about it and not quite able to understand it. But I have explained to her that you are right there on the ground, inside the pool booth,
keeping game and that makes a large difference in these things. 13th. I have been to the Nastostling with Mrs. Clemens. The office of art seems to be to grovel in the dirt before emperors, and this and that and the other damned breed of priests. Ears ever mark. Howells and Clemens were corresponding regularly again, though not with the frequency of former years. Perhaps neither of them was bubbling over with things to say. Perhaps it was becoming yearly less attractive to pick up a pen and write, and then, of course, there was always the discouragement of distance. Once Howells wrote, "I know this will find you in Austria, before I can well turn round, but I must make believe you are in Kennebunkport, before I can begin it." And in another letter, "it ought to be as pleasant to sit down and write to you, as to sit down and talk to you, but it isn't. The only reason why I write is that I want another letter from you, and because I have a whole afternoon for the job. I have the whole of every afternoon, for I cannot work later than lunch. I am fagged by that time, and Sunday is the only day that brings unbearable leisure. I hope you will be in New York another winter, then I shall know what to do with these foretastes of eternity." Clemens usually wrote at considerable length, for he had a good deal to report of his life in the Austrian capital, now drawing to a close. To W. D. Howells, in New York. May 12, 1899. Dear Howells, 7:15 p.m. Tea for Mr. and Mrs. Tower, who are leaving for Russia, just over. Nice people and rather creditable to the human race. Mr. and Mrs. Tower, the new minister and his wife, the Secretary of Legation, the Naval and Military Attach, several English ladies, an Irish lady, a Scotch lady, a particularly nice young Austrian baron who wasn't invited, but came and went supposing it was the usual thing, and wondered at the unusually large gathering, two other Austrians and several Americans who were also in his fix, the old baron and Langeman, the only Austrian invited. The rest were Americans. It made just a comfortable crowd in our parlor, with an overflow into Clara's through the folding doors. I don't enjoy teas, and am daily spared them by Mrs. Clemens, but this was a pleasant one. I had only one accident. The old Baron and Langeman is a person I have a strong fondness for we violently disagree on some subjects, and as violently agree on others. For instance, she is temperance, and I am not. As he has religious beliefs and feelings and I have none. She's a Methodist. She is a Democrat, and so am I. She is women's rights, and so am I. She is laborers' rights, and approves trades unions and strikes, and that is me. And so on. After she was gone, an English lady whom I greatly like began to talk sharply against her for contributing money, time, labor, and public expression of favor to a strike that is on for an 11-hour day in the silk factories of Bohemia, and she caught me unprepared and betrayed me into overwarm argument. I am sorry, for she didn't know anything about the subject, and I did. And one should be gentle with the ignorant, for they are the chosen of God. The new minister is a good man, but out of place. The Sec. of Legation is a good man, but out of place. The attaché is a good man, but out of place. Our government for displacement beats the new White Star ship, and her possible is 17,200 tons. May 13, 4 p.m. A beautiful English girl and her handsome English husband came up and spent the evening, and she certainly is a bird. English parents, she was born and reared in Romania, and couldn't talk English till she was 8 or 10. She came up clothed like the sunset, and was a delight to look at. Romanian costume. .24 young people have gone out to the Semmering today and tomorrow, and Mrs. Clemens and an English lady, and old Leshetitsky and his wife have gone to chaperonism. They gave me a chance to go, but there are no snow mountains that I want to look at. 3 hours out, 3 hours back, and sit up all night watching the young people dance, yelling conversationally and being yelled at, conversationally, by new acquaintances, through the deafening music, about how I like Vienna, and if it's my first visit, and how long we expect to stay, and did I see the foot washing, and am I writing a book about Vienna, and so on. The terms seem too severe. Snow mountains are too dear at the price. For several years I have been intending to stop writing for print, as soon as I could afford it. At last I can afford it, and have put the pot-boiler pen away. What I have been wanting is a chance to write a book without reserves, a book which should take account of no one's feelings, and no one's prejudices, opinions, beliefs, hopes, illusions, delusions. A book which should say my say, right out of my heart, in the plainest language, and without a limitation of any sort. I judged that that would be an unimaginable luxury, heaven on earth. It is underway now, and it is a luxury. An intellectual drunk. Twice I didn't start it right, and got pretty far in, both times, before I found it out. But I am sure it is started right this time. It is in tale-form. I believe I can make it tell what I think of man, and how he is constructed, and what a shabby, poor, ridiculous thing he is, and how mistaken he is in his estimate of his character, and powers and qualities and his place among the animals. So far, I think I am succeeding. I let the madam into the secret day before yesterday, and locked the doors, and read to her the opening. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.